Tonight, the extraordinary, magical life of a witch. Fiona Horn joins us along with Christian Day, and they're next on Coast to Coast AM. Fiona Horn, known in the U.S., the U.K., and Australia as a leading expert on modern witchcraft, she is an accomplished television radio host, best-selling author. Fiona says witchcraft has many different paths, and she knows that her nature-based spiritual craft helps her stay grounded. And Fiona currently enjoys a very successful broadcasting publishing career as a witch. Here she is, Fiona Horn. Hey, Fiona, how are you?
Hey, George, good. How are you?
Always good to have you. Now, you're only with us for an hour and a half tonight, right?
Yes, an hour and a half.
Then on your broom and out you go, right?
Absolutely.
how's the leg doing, by the way?
How's my ankle? Oh, not too bad, actually. I'm sort of back on it. That was fun that day in the studio.
Oh, my God. Skydiving accident, folks. Fiona broke her ankle.
Just, it was a gopher hole. I highly recommend skydiving. It was my 240th jump. Nothing crazy happened except on landing I stepped in a gopher hole. Could have happened anywhere.
You stepped on it coming down or walking away?
No, I was landing, and as I put my foot down, it looked like grass to me, but the ground collapsed, and it was a gopher hole. And I kind of rolled my ankle and thought, oh, that was odd. Picked up my parachute, walked to the hangar, and looked down, and the thing was black. And I thought, that's not good. And, yep, went to the hospital, and it was broken, and 4 months later I got screws and things in there.
But I'm glad you're healing.
Positive attitude, bit of magic helps heal it. That's
poof,
for sure.
It's done. Great. Lynn, let me bring on Christian Day, a witch living in Salem, Massachusetts. Christian had a strong desire for knowledge and began to seriously sharpen his psychic talents in his teens, learning the tarot cards and reading and studying the path of witchcraft. In his mid-20s, Christian was initiated into an old world family tradition coven, and today is an elder in that coven. Christian believes that the hidden powers of magic are a gift and help him to see the great potential in all those he teaches and counsels. Christian seeks to educate the masses about the ancient arts of witchcraft, folk magic, and natural wisdom. Here he is. Hey, Christian, how are you?
Hey, George. How are you tonight?
Good to have you both with us to really explain witchcraft to so many people who are still baffled by it, confused by it. Fiona, of course, you know, you've been practicing this now for how long?
About 20 years.
How'd you get into this?
I guess in the 80s. I was in my teens. I was looking for alternatives to my Catholic upbringing. I've, you know, discussed this many times, and I've thought about it many times. And one of the interesting things that came to light fairly recently is that as much as I was drawn to this spiritual path, I found out in my 30s, about 10 years ago, that I was of German-Hungarian origins because I'm adopted. And as I found out more about my biological background, not in the least that my father is Jewish, so I'm kind of calling myself a Jewitch now, but my mother, German mother, she is very psychic and very spiritual, and particularly on my German side, I have a long lineage of women and men who were healers and you know, you can really trace it back to, you know, those Teutonic tribes, those pagan tribes of Northern Europe. I have them resonating in my blood, and I guess in this lifetime it was something that spoke to me as a young girl growing up in, you know, suburban Australia, that I was spiritually inspired by this path, and it's been something I've been traveling now for over 20 years, consciously.
Christian, how about you?
Well, I was born one town north of Salem, Massachusetts, in Beverly, the birthplace of the American Navy, to a very 60s sort of family. You know, we were very open-minded. So I'd always had this obsession with things that were strange and spiritual, fairies and sacred sites and that sort of thing. And I had an aunt that read tarot cards, and when I was 15, I asked her to teach me, and she said that I was too young. So I waited a couple of years, so I was 17, and I bought my own deck. And you know, often they say, you know, one thing leads to another. And it began this path when I was 18 years old of witchcraft and magic. And for me, it was a religion, but it was also a spiritual practice, a way that I could help people around me, you know, and using it as a way of priesting to people, you know, so that people would seek me out and ask for my help and things. And so, you know, over the years, I've just developed it, you know, joined a coven in my 20s, and then in the early 2000s, I founded a festival in Salem and made my career as a full-time witch. So I work doing readings and counseling for people all over the world, you know, over the phone, and also, you know, through my events that people come to, you know, here in Salem in October. So there's a lot of stuff that, you know, we kind of do, you know, as full-time witches, both Fiona and I, you know, and I think that when you're doing this as a full-time life path, you know, you're really reaching out. It's all about the service you do for others. So for me, you know, it's helping people with magic. It's something that not everyone understands.
I think Hollywood has probably given witchcraft the bad connotation. For example, you, Christian, and I know you, Fiona, are not devil worshippers at all.
Oh, yet, George, I can't even believe you're bothering to mention that. I thought that is being dealt with and was put to bed years ago.
It should be.
We don't believe in the devil other than it being a Christian construct, which if Christians find it necessary to believe in a devil, fine, but not part of our pantheon of gods and goddesses or demigods or anti-gods.
And never was.
I also want to address that, too, because you know something? I found in my experience as a witch that I don't think most people really do believe in witches as devil worshippers, because quite honestly, as I like to say, they always end up at our door. You know, we're always, you know, most of my clients are Christians. Most of the people that call me or ask me for magic are Christians. I think that perhaps, you know, there's the whole idea of witches, Satan worshiper, created by, you know, people that wanted to put us out of business. But I think most people in their hearts really know what witches are about. Because, you look at most of the people that seek out witches in Salem. They're not witches. You know, people come from all over the world to Salem every October and throughout the year. And they're just people looking for magic in their lives. They're ordinary Christians or Jews or, you know, sometimes even atheists that want to believe.
Yet there are people who do practice Satanism. They're the people we should watch out for. They're
out there
somewhere.
Well, I mean, it's not part of witchcraft. There have been people, it was in the 60s, obviously, the Church of Satan, Anton LaVey, very famously and publicly,
right,
in a way that still resonates through modern media to a degree, married the word witchcraft and devil worshipping and Satanism, you know, married those words all in one sort of category, and you know, it's just not relevant now. I'm surprised we're even bothering to discuss it. It's modern witches honor nature as sacred, recognize the goddess as well as a god. We do spells and rituals to help and heal. We practice the arts of divination, psychic intuition, psychic skills, whatever, to help others. And it's a very practical way of living. I have to say, last year being on the Tyra Banks show and having an hour of that time on that show, the feedback I got predominantly, much like, you know, what Christian's saying about people who seek us out for help, there are people who, more often than not, are Christian.
Sure.
Truly. They're,
well, absolutely.
And they're looking for guidance. And I think in modern witchcraft, a lot of what we talk about is very, very much resonates with the teachings of Jesus. We're environmentalists. We're, you know, about honoring gender, race, creed, people's choices, you know, love all without conditions, and look to help and heal where it's required, where we can do service.
Go ahead, Christian.
I think Fiona's word that really hits me right now is resonates. I think people in general, throughout the world, they intrinsically resonate with witches. And it's something that you can find in even the Bible with the Witch of Endor. It's an archetypal relationship. And by the way, they never portray the Witch of Endor as a devil worshiper. But what you see is you see King Saul and his priests unable to contact the spirit of Samuel. So what does he do, cloaked and veiled in the dead of night? But he seeks out the Witch of Endor. This process has been happening for thousands of years. It's ancient, and I believe that it is far older and far more resonant with humanity than this very recent, you know, fabrication of the idea of witches, devil worshiper.
Right.
People have been seeking us out long before there was a devil, and they'll be seeking us out long after there's one, because they need what we do.
I have long said on this program, when people call in and want to talk about the Wiccans, that Wiccans are some of the most loving people on this planet. They believe in a male, female gender of God, and so be it. And, you know, we have to educate people about what's behind it, because they're not learning from other sources.
I think they know more than you may think, because quite honestly, they may not tell you, but they always end up at our door. You know, if you see one Hollywood movie, I always love to reference this, Practical Magic, because you have those two aunts, and everybody treats them terribly, you know, because they publicly don't want to be associated, but right there in the dead of night, You know, all the little neighbors are at the doorstep with their money trying to get a spell. I mean, that archetypal relationship is so ancient that it far outshines, I think, the misconceptions. And it's really, I don't really focus so much, you know, like Fiona said, I don't want to necessarily focus on the fear aspect of witchcraft because I don't think that that's really the life I live. I mean,
yeah.
The people who call me from all over the world for readings and spiritual counseling, they never really stop at, well, are you the devil? Or, you know, they just want to know.
That's such a good point, Christian, because I think over the years, like 20 years in the public eye that I've spent, whether, you know, my work is, Christian mentioned earlier in the show about being a full-time witch. Well, I'm a full-time person who works in the entertainment industry. I've been
Absolutely.
Out in the public eye, whether I was in my band, you know, in Australia and here in the 90s, or whether I've been on TV talking about my books or been on television, you know, in a show like Mad House that maybe some of the listeners will remember.
Sure.
Which highlighted my life as a witch. I mean, I'm out there in the entertainment arena. Over the years, and you'd want to get good at your job after 20 years. I've been doing this for 20 years. I've become adept at discussing things in public, and it's particularly things to do with my spiritual life, which I've gone public about. And I've really got to a point where I want to focus on what we give and what we can do and how we can help and inspire others and how we can live together. And when I say we, I'm talking about people that relate to the modern craft of witchcraft. And it's not just Wicca, as you mentioned before, Wiccans. Wicca is a specific, you know, I guess, and Christian, you know, if you can find a better way to describe this than me, but it is a kind of religion of witchcraft. There
right.
is, you know, you can be Christian and not have to follow a specific religion of Christianity. You can just decide that you love Christ and you emulate his principles and et cetera, et cetera. Or you can be Catholic. You can be Protestant. You can be any number of the factions of Christianity. It's similar with witchcraft. Modern witches, we have a lot in common with, and I would consider myself more of an eclectic modern witch than a specific Wiccan, though I understand and admire and relate to the principles of Wicca, which is more of a structured religion of witchcraft. I wouldn't call myself specifically Wiccan. But Christian, you know, what do you think about that?
Witchcraft for me is something one does. It's like my friend Leanne always says, it's a verb. You know, it's
mm-hmm,
something,
mm-hmm.
It's a way we live our lives through the way we help others. And so for me, you know, I look at Wicca, which comes from the Anglo-Saxon Wicca, spelled the same, W-I-C-C-A, mm-hmm. and the idea, the modern religion of Wicca, it's a modern interpretation. It includes magic. You know, it was very likely put together in the 1940s and 50s and released with Gerald Gardner's first book in 1951. And so, you know, it's a wonderful, beautiful religion. But I think that witchcraft, for me, is a broader concept. I look at it more than just a religion, and if anything, it's more of a practice, a thing we do, and it's universal. For me, witchcraft literally means the arts of magic as practiced by regular people. The witch would be, you know, in the ancient world, everyone did magic on some level or another, but
True.
They went to the witch to get it. It's just like every grandmother made a pot of, you know, something on the stove, but you went to the five-star chef or the good grandmother if you wanted something extra special. You know, there were people who specialized in something, and so the witch is a witchcraft. Its very nature is a career. It's a life path. You know, in the ancient tribal societies, you know, the witch brought his magic to the tribe, or the shaman, you know,
yes.
I use those words interchangeably sometimes. And, you know, the hunter brought the food, and the woman who sewed made the clothes. And the witch is a role that we play. And if you're a witch, and I say this for people that are interested in becoming witches out there, or people that may be, you know, new to the practice, remember the people you serve, because if you are not serving humanity in some way with your magic, you're losing touch with the ancient role of the witch. We're there to help people. We are not simply there to serve ourselves, though it's okay to, you know, better your life with magic, but you have to remember that it's the people we serve, and that's an ancient role, and you can find that role throughout every culture. Witchcraft isn't just Celtic or British. You know, you have Italian witches, you have Germanic witches.
You have Serbian witches, and
absolutely.
My girlfriend's Serbian, and she was talking about the witch that her family went to. But it's very true. It's a wonderful point you bring up, Christian. It's certainly something that, you know, over the years I've kind of made peace with, is that I just kind of realized that I'm this. I do this. I live this. I am this. It's not a label. It's not, It's reality. It's everyday reality. I see things differently. Things happen differently. I have psychic ability. I help others with that ability. I also do my job, which is I work as a creative, entertaining person, as an author, as a TV personality, whatever. But my life is what it is, and I decided to stop fighting that and stop worrying about what everyone was saying about me and, you know, the leap I took off the deep end into the public eye and came out of the broom closet, so to speak, with my first book over 12 years ago and said that I was a witch. And in the long, long, long journey that's taken me on, and it's still going. But I think anyone, you know, one of the most common questions that people like Christian and I who are accessible to the public get, you know, it's like, oh, how do I know I'm a witch? Am I a witch? Can I be a witch? Do I need to study? I think it all comes down to that basic truism, which is, if you think you are, then most likely you are.
Well, you make a good point, because I personally believe that witches are born. I don't think witchcraft is about how many degrees you get or, you know, who pats you on the back or says, oh, you are a witch now. Mm-hmm. No, you discover your magic. It's like I discovered my own. You know, I realized I had a talent for psychic ability and I wanted to develop it more. I wanted to help people with it. I realized I was able to make things happen by paranormal means.
And that's I have exactly the same experience. 5 years old, I was doing it, standing out in the bush, blow, wind, blow, make my feet and fingers glow. I was absolutely convinced I was controlling the wind with my mind. I lived this incredibly integrated relationship with nature and the innate sense of magic in the world. But let me tell you this, if there was one thing I regret, and I don't really believe in regrets so much as I'm going to say this now, I regret, in some ways, being a witch in the public eye, because it's totally screwed over my career. I'm not rich and famous by any means. I could be a lot richer and a lot more famous if I wasn't a witch, trust me. It's often in my career been much more of a curse than a blessing.
Interesting.
But I stuck with it, and, you know, because I know bottom line is that I can help people, and if that means sitting at home helping people on the phone or counseling people or teaching at the gym like I do and involving my method of teaching my spinning mm-hmm. classes with elements of motivational meditation and you know, I tell people we're working with energy. It's not hocus pocus. It's science. Concentrate on something you want. Every spin of your legs, you're spinning up energy to bring your dream to fruition. We're casting spells at the bloody gym. I'm serious. That's what I do now. It's so integrated in my life. But I could have been much more successful in a commercial, you know, sense. And it's a great misconception about me just because I'm kind of out there a lot, which you'd expect after as
right.
many years as I've been
well,
in the industry.
I've seen you work, Fiona, and people who don't know you but recognize you and hear about you, they swarm around you. They like to be around you. You give off some form of energy.
I appreciate that. And you know, George, I've just realized that I can't fight that anymore. I've just got to embrace it and, you know, and not worry about opinions or whether they be opinions of other witches, because sometimes they're more brutal than the opinions of the Christians, you know, mm-hmm. that maybe would confuse what I do with the silly devil stuff that we were talking about earlier.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
you know, I found criticism from my own community is to me the most brutal and the most harsh. And add on to that, just sometimes, you know, having trouble getting a job because I'm discriminated against as a witch.
Christian, when people come to you, when they come to Fiona for advice and help, you're almost like a modern-day psychologist. What do they want? What are they looking for? Is it relationship? Is it to change their lifestyle? What do they want?
Well, it's a number of things, really. I think that in terms of psychic readings, most of the people who come to me for a reading are looking for guidance on love, but they come to a witch as opposed to an ordinary psychic. Because what we do is more than simply say, okay, let's look at this. I believe as a psychic that, and a witch, that fate is yours to control. So when I talk to a client, it's like, well, here's how you can change this. But when they come to my shop, it's a whole different story. Nobody buys love anymore. They're all after money spells, and they're going to the casino.
Really?
I want to rub a little something on the money. But you know what? I find the overarching thing, quite honestly, and I think it's what helps those of us who were born witches to discover it, I think most of the people that come to Salem, for example, are really just looking for the idea that there is magic. That, you know, they may be living there.
Hold on to that, Christian. We'll come right back to you and Fiona Horn. Both their websites, all their websites, are linked up at coasttocoastam.com. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment with Fiona Horn and Christian Day, right here on Coast to Coast AM. Well, we've got Fiona Horn for one more hour. Christian Day will stay with us for the duration of the show, and we'll take phone calls with him during the last hour. So we'll be back with both of them in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. We're with Fiona Horn, Christian Day. Christian, you were talking about people who come to you for help and some of the reasons they're looking for help. And I'll let you pick it up.
Well, I think more than just me. I mean, I want to speak about witchcraft in general in that,
sure,
to that question, because I live in a city that is more associated with witchcraft than any other place on the planet. So the media often looks to Salem, you know, and they want to see what are the witches up to.
Yes.
You know, and there are many of us here, and we have over 1 million tourists that come in annually, and 500,000 of them come in the month of October. And so I get a lot of, you know, firsthand information about, you know, why are they here? They're not just coming like at some kind of Mecca. They don't necessarily want to become witches, but they might just be some ordinary family, an accountant, you know, with a wife who works at a bank and two children and a dog, and they're here on vacation. And they, you know, maybe some of them have specific problems, but I think more than anything, people come to the witch because we help them to believe in magic. We help them to believe and to know, I think, is more important a word than belief, to know that magic lives throughout the universe, that it's the energy that all of us can tap into on some level or another. And so it isn't always about the minutia or the specific requests. It's an overarching ideal. You know, people will come to us and they'll say, I want to meet the witches. You know, they walk into our shop. Are you witches? They ask. You know, they want to know. And can you do a spell? They don't really care what half the time. They just want to know that there's more to the world than simply base matter, that there's a spirituality in all things, and they just want to experience magic. I think it's, you know, the same for people who go to a church because they want to experience God. People who come to Salem, they want to experience magic. And so, yeah, once you break it down, some people want money, some people want love, but it's not as much about that. I think they come to us because we help them to remember that the universe is a magical place.
Would you agree with that, Fiona?
Yeah, I definitely would. I think Christian has a wonderful way of kind of summing that up and really emphasizing the magical aspect of it and particularly our appeal for people who aren't witches. It's funny, I experience life a little differently to Christian because he works in he owns a store, a wonderful store called Hex in Salem. I recommend everyone go there and check it out. It's amazing.
How's it spelled, Christian?
H-E-X.
Okay.
H-E-X is in
I
Hex.
Love it. All right, great. Go ahead.
But so the store's brilliant. It's evocative and magical and very classically what you would, you know, dare I say, and I know Christian won't mind, but what you would kind of hope to experience at a really classic witchy kind of store. You know, it's mystical and magical. There's, you know, but in my life, I'm really like, you know, Christian's kind of the dark, mystical, magical-looking one, and as far as face value goes, I'm blonde and I look more like I should be on the beach playing volleyball even at the age of 42, or maybe at the gym doing a magical spin class.
I thought you were 24. What do you mean 42?
You know what? Age is a number that tells you nothing. You don't get older, you get better. You know, I find I'm in better shape physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually than I was 20 years ago, if you're talking about linear time. I think, you know, you can, if you experience life, and I truly believe this is part of my life, living as a witch, that every day is a work of magic. People say, what's your favorite spell? I say, my life. Sometimes it's a spell that brings challenges, but more often than not, it's an ongoing experience of magical, extraordinary things. And you only get to live once, really, I think, in this current consciousness. So I want to make the most of it. But my point being is, though, I live a little differently. Like, my goal in life, when I go out, say, to work or to my everyday things that I do, if I go into a meeting with a bunch of television producers and I'm trying to sell them a show, I've got to not be too witchy. And one of the things I've enjoyed lately, particularly in the last 5 or 6 years, has been the fact that I'm a witch doesn't matter. Finding more opportunities that where I'm not judged spiritually, where I'm just a cool person with good energy, as you said earlier, George. And, you know, if it comes up in the conversation, like I was at a movie premiere last night in Los Angeles, a friend of mine starring in this. Actually, I have to plug it. Generation Kill, HBO, Sunday night. Watch it. Phenomenal, amazing.
Shameless
Stop
promotion.
Everyone's apathy about the wars that the young people are going to fight, and it's just, everyone has to watch Generation Kill. Anyway, I'll stop that plug. HBO, Sunday. But I went to the premiere last night, and the ubiquitous question in Hollywood, what do you do? I said, I'm an author. I work in television and film. And
so
no
you're,
one,
you're
no
holding
one said, oh,
back
you're a
at
witch.
That time. Yeah. And you didn't just share that right away then, did you?
I never do. That's the thing, George. I never do. But you know, a well-meaning friend might be standing next to them and they go, oh, Fiona's a witch. And then straight away it's like, whoom. Can you tell me what's going on with my husband? Is he really screwing around on me? Oh, excuse my language. You know, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, and you're straight away going into service. It's cool, you do it. But I like just being me. And yes, I'm public as a witch to a degree, but I don't go around advertising it. And that's where, you know, what I'm liking a lot in recent years, what I'm experiencing is that I guess the fact that I practice witchcraft as a spiritual path, that I am a witch, isn't a defining term in my life.
Well, like, and not to be stereotypical, because it's you really can't say what is a witch supposed to look like. Nobody would know that this is what you believe. This is what you practice.
Exactly.
Hollywood Uh-oh. Would expect you to wear a hat and have a big wart on your nose.
Well, there's an element. I mean, gosh, Christian crowned me queen of the witches, not in the Alexandrian tradition, but Christian crowned me queen of the witches last year at his witches ball in Salem, and it was awesome. I got to sing and perform. I did some songs from my witchcraft-inspired album, Witch Web. There's another plug. Check out Coast to Coast website, and you can go to my website and find out all about it. But, you know, I mean, there is a magical, mystical element to the traditional, what people would conceive as the traditional garb of the witch. Absolutely. Did I get dressed up to go out to the premiere last night? Absolutely. Do I get dressed up to go to ritual or to sing at the witch's ball with Christian? Absolutely. There's methods of dress that are appropriate for different things, but it doesn't define who and what we are.
I'm
sorry. Christian, go ahead.
Yeah, well, speaking as someone who sometimes looks like he fell off a broomstick, well, I remember Fiona wore the hat down in Australia and made a number
of those. Oh, gosh, yes, I did. Oh, that's one thing I have to say. This is somewhere where I have to just kind of totally conflict everything I just said. I did go to a very posh, very conservative horse race, Melbourne Cup. It's as big as the Derby thing here, you know, like a really
big... Kentucky Derby here, yeah.
Yeah, big national horse race, very conservative. And, you know, I wore a fabulous Roberto Cavalli frock. You know, you go in your designer threads. Took my beautiful, handsome, amazing boyfriend, Jeff, with me, who was just decked out in this fabulous Hugo Boss suit. But I wore that witch's hat, because it's traditional for women to wear hats to the races, so I'll bugger it. I'll wear the witch's hat, and I flew out to Australia with it and wore it and got in every newspaper in the country. It was hilarious.
How did you even carry it on the plane, for crying out loud?
Oh, I know. I was worried I'd get pulled up in customs.
I have a couple. I mean, you know, there are times when I'll, you know, people will find me in the summer in nothing but T-shirt, shorts, and Tevas.
Yeah,
you know, especially
if
I'm down in the Caribbean, and they don't exactly make summer attire and, you know, witchy summer attire. But, you know, once the fall hits, you know, you'll often see me in, you know, my sort of goth rock and roller look, or, you know, once October hits, you know, once the last few weeks of October, I'm wearing capes and pointy hats and all sorts of things. And people might say, well, you know, do you just do this for tourists? Well, certainly that's part of it. I mean, I live in a tourist town, and people want to come and experience the full drama of being a witch. So, you know, we can afford to do things that people can't necessarily get away with everywhere else, even in Hollywood. You know, because it's what they expect. But there's another side to it that's important to understand about ritual clothing, whether you're the type of witch that wears robes, or you're like me and I want tight-fitting pants and boots, or you have a cape or a pointy hat, or, you know, maybe some kind of Victorian look. The spirits are often attracted to people who are different, you know, who dress sort of unusual. If you look at old, you know, if you look at photographs of modern tribes in, you know, remote areas of the world, or, you know, depictions of the shamanic healer types and tribes, they often had, you know, more rings throughout their face and more decor and more masks. And you know, they were often dressed far more over the top than your ordinary tribesmen. You know, they went over the top because they wanted to be like the spirits. It's where we get the idea of the Halloween masks and the Halloween costumes, is the idea of dressing to impress the dead. And so, you know, and it's something I want to mention also is that, you know, in addition to having gods and goddesses, witchcraft is very much an ancestral path, you know, similar to voodoo and other religions that deal with the spirits of the dead every day. And that, you know, we often keep ancestral altars in our homes with pictures and mementos of our beloved dead on the other side. And so when we dress that way, it's more than just pageantry. It is a living, walking piece of magic. And in fact, my cape that I wear, and I have this cape that was made by a woman that sews for Cirque du Soleil, and it's all made of patchwork fabrics because it represents the idea of community to me.
Right.
Full of people that are different, but it's covered in charms and symbols from all over the world and places I've traveled and, you know, things that matter to me and symbols and seals. So the entire cape that I wear is a spell. And so, yeah, do the tourists love to look at it? Is it splashy? Is it interesting? Does it jazz up the experience of your, you know, tourists visiting Salem? Absolutely. So there's certainly economic reasons there and for the fun of the tourists, but it's also magic, and it's all combined. But I also find that, you know, you take someone like Fiona or, you know, perhaps someone that works at a bank and they're a witch. Sometimes they wear that magic more secretly. You may not know why they're wearing the color blue on Thursday. Mm-hmm. You may not understand why they have, you know, a red scarf to attract passion on a Tuesday. You don't always know why the witch is doing what they're doing, because sometimes it's more subtle. But even in Fiona's case, who may look more like a Hollywood starlet than necessarily, you know, a witch flying on a broom, the magic is still there in what she portrays, you know, and how she looks. You just have to look a little harder if, you know, they're dressing in Gucci, et cetera. You know?
I think one of the things that's interesting as I've been listening to Chris, you know, it's funny how we always come to these themes when we discuss witchcraft, Christian. I'm sure you'd agree. We're always asked about the devil stuff, and it's like, whatever. And then with clothing, we're always asked about how we look because there is this all-pervasive Hollywood image, this stereotype of the witch as crone, you know, like the pointy hat, you know, crooked nose. Everyone will come to mind immediately. And then more recently, the hot witches of Charmed or Practical Magic or whatever. You know, does anyone ask why a priest wears a white robe in church and then a black ear with that little white thing at his throat during the weekdays when he's not in the church? You know,
yeah, exactly.
The garb is what it is. One of the things I really agree and appreciate what Christian's saying when he talks about his cape being a work of magic, he's dressing with intent. Anything we do with intent becomes magical. Magic is the art of creating change with will. Whether that's, as Christian said, putting an item of red clothing on. You know, I was in my book, and here I'll go for another shameless plug, Bewitch a Man, my book that's out at the moment, and it's doing a lot of good things for people's love lives. It certainly did a lot of good for mine. But I recommend everyone wear red knickers on a Friday. Invoke some passion for the weekend. It's Friday. Venus rules Friday. It's planet of love. Align yourself with the planetary energies. Dress with intent, and something becomes magical. I've got to say the most magical moments in my life have been when I've been skyclad, completely naked, with a group of women doing ritual in my coven. So it depends.
Well, I've seen your body. I prefer to keep America beautiful myself. I
mean,
I don't quite have the figure she has. So skyclad's not necessarily enough.
It's not necessary, but my point is, it is about intent and it is about your will, and that's what makes things magical. And that's why one person can, you know, look at a black candle and a, you know, some cloth next to it or a mirror or something and just think, oh, well, that's, you know, I'd rather put a, you know, an expensive sculpture there or something, and a witch will look at it and go, wow, that's an amazing spell to honor, or it's an amazing ritual to honor the dead, or that's invoking the spirit of an ancestor. It's all about perspective and will. But I do think that, and especially what Christian's talking about, one of the things that really impressed me when I, you know, met him for the first time last year in Salem around the Festival of the Dead period when I visited Salem, his energy does inspire people, non-witches and witches alike, and it is, you know, he can walk down the street dressed in the garb, but it's not theatrical, it's inspirational.
Right, right. And during Halloween, for example, is it a different time for both of you? Is it a fun time, Christian?
Well, for me, it's both. You see, you don't understand. The the modern American Halloween, which is festive and fun, has its roots in the ancient holiday of Samhain, you know, the period of the dead. But even then, it wasn't just a solemn occasion. You know, the ancient peoples that celebrated this time, they celebrated it with revelry and festivity. They wanted to honor the dead. So for me, it's both. I mean, the whole month of October is both a very emotional, powerful time, but it's also a festive time. So with my Festival of the Dead, you know, my shameless plug, festivalofthedead.com. but my festival that I created throughout the month of October, I created so that people, witches and non-witches alike, could explore death from a multicultural perspective. So we don't just have witchcraft events. You know, there's voodoo, and we even have a Christian event run by an evangelical minister who explores death from their perspective. But the thing that I did that I wanted to make most clear was that this is both a festive and a solemn time. And so some of the events are, you know, the witch's ball and a psychic fair, and the psychic fair can be fun, but some of the readings are very serious.
Sure.
And we also have a dumb supper, which isn't for stupid people, but it's a silent dinner, you know, that people sit at for 3 hours in absolute silence and no one speaks, and there's music from all different spiritual cultures, including Christianity, that inspire us to remember the dead. And there are altars, and everyone who comes brings mementos and photos of the dead. And that is a tearjerker. There's not a dry eye in the house. But then we party with the dead at the witch's ball. So, you know, for me, October and Halloween are both festive and solemn. And so everything that I do throughout that month reflects that dichotomy.
Do you find, Christian, that with everything that's going on this planet right now, you know, gas prices out of control, people getting foreclosed on, people's concerns about the Iraq war and possibly Iran, do you find people are acting differently nowadays?
I find that people are looking for more spirituality. I, you know, it's like the old saying goes, there are no atheists in foxholes. And when I like to say, when, you know, the stuff really hits the fan, so to speak, you know, they're all seeking out the witch. Because a lot of times, spirituality is an emotional state. Magic is an experiential one. You know, people will look at religion, and often it will give them solace. But then you have skeptics, like me. You know, people might be surprised to learn I've always been quite skeptical.
No, I'm skeptical too, Dol. I think those of us that are really, truly open to witchcraft are skeptical because we're going to have to really
know
it.
You want demonstrative proof. You know, it's like the people that listen to your show and, you know, for the various themes of the paranormal, you know, it's why we all loved The X-Files. You know, people want this idea. They want to believe. They want to know. They want to see evidence. You know, one of the events that I do in October, I took a line from the witch trials of 1692, because the evidence under which those people were accused and convicted was called spectral evidence. You know, and that meant that even if you could prove you were home at night, if you were accused of witchcraft, they'd simply say that you sent your shape or your spectral form,
right, yeah,
you know, to bite the children in the night. And so I took the term spectral evidence and said, well, wow, what a great term to use to describe paranormal investigation. And we have a ghost hunting team called the New England Ghost Project that comes in October and teaches people how to use EMF meters and, you know, the thermosensors and all that type of gadgetry. I call it my Scully event because I wanted something that had the scientific, you know, basis for some of these paranormal acts. And so for me, you know, I need that. And I think people need that. And I think that, you know, all of the turmoil in the world is causing people to look for spirituality, but they want it tangible. They want something that isn't just like, here, go believe this because I said so.
Right.
No, they want to feel it. They want to know it. They want to believe it. They want to see it. They want to experience it.
Okay. Well, both of you, we've got you for another half hour, Fiona. You, Christian, for the rest of the show. And, Christian, I've got a couple websites for you, of course, Festival of the Dead, but Psychics for Hire and Salem Tarot Card, right? Or just Salem Tarot?
Right. Well, Salem Tarot was how I got my start as a web developer. I used to work for ad agencies and stuff.
Really?
In my normal career, but the Salem Tarot was the first website I built in 1995. And, you know, there's a free three-card reading that people use, and it's more of a fun site. Psychics for Hire is a site I created about a year ago to do phone readings on, so people people can get a reading from me on there, or people like Leanne Marama or Liz Souza. You know, there are Lily Lee. There are some really wonderful people reading on there that, you know, are also counselors and help people with magic to, you know, find direction.
All right, let's talk about spells when we come back.